then Padre Pio thanked us through the other monks and through the Belgian priest. And as he went, left that tree and went back into the monastery, he turned and asked in Belgian, you know, in Italian, the priest, if Father May and myself would like to serve his mass in the morning. Now, I'm not going into the story that so many of you people know about how he told me and I put this and that to be a priest. I just want to enter into this main part of this talk. Father May and myself left the monastery, and I mean there was nothing, just an old monastery. That's why it's so hard for me to think of today and to think of that huge city. We walked down the hill and there was a little hut. There was no other place to stay. Father May and I, in the cold, I remember it was windy, we stayed down in a little hut. Just nothing but sagebrush, not the whole rock of the Gargano. But at 4:30 in the morning, we were up and down at the monastery in the sacristy. And about a quarter to five, six or eight monks came into the sacristy and they stood around the dressings where Padre Pio was going to come in and vest for mass. And then all of a sudden you heard the door, about where that door is, or even a little further. And in comes Francisco Forgione. And he wasn't smiling. And he wasn't laughing. And he began, of course, in that very solemn thing that you've seen pictures of Padre Pio when he came over to the bench where he was started to vest, and the monks put the helmet and all the other things on him. And he didn't have his gloves. And there I saw, as he started on all those great wounds, the first priest in the whole history of the Catholic Church, like an inch square on his palms of his hands and the palms of his back of his hands on each hand. You didn't see his side, that wound that bled a pint of blood each day for 50 years, almost, in representative of the Passion of our Lord. And he started the Mass. And all I'm going to tell you about that Mass, but Father May and I spent 1 hour and 55 minutes kneeling beside each side of Padre Pio. And I witnessed the most amazing, supernatural thing that ever man. You think Lucy saw something great? Of course she did. But if you would kneel beside Padre Pio as I did that 43 years ago, you could never forget. Even if you wanted to. I watched Calvary. I watched the crucifixion of our Lord. And I watched this man that was just before we started the Mass, as he put his hand out and I kissed those wounds of Padre Pio. And as he went through that entire Mass, those wounds began to bleed. And he began to go through the entire Passion until when he got to the whole meat of the Mass. When he lifted that host, this is my body and this is my blood. He was in complete agony and he was bleeding from his hands. It took him 1 hour and 55 minutes to say that Mass. I watched a supernatural event and you cannot wipe it out of your mind even if you want to. That's my personal reveries. And now, as we ask in our world, what's it all about, Alfie? What's it all about? And for you spiritual children, I'll tell you what it's all about. Padre Pio, number one, he proved to the whole world for 50 years that the Mass is the same sacrifice as that of Calvary. And when you see in our world and in our church throughout the world where they're saying the Mass is an assembly of people, a Mass is something that has to be with all the music and all the other things and the helling and the yelling, and everything is now so disrespectful to Christ and the Blessed Sacrament, Padre Pio left that one thing, the Mass. But I think I'll tell you a story first. You see, Padre Pio was a great jokester. He always was telling his other monks jokes. And he had a lot of stories that kept him in good humor when things got tough up in that cold and hot weather up in that mountain of Gargano. Now, Padre Pio, I've read some of the jokes that he has told us supposedly when he was alive in many of the books that he read, that I've read and you have read. And those jokes are really corny. They're lousy jokes, in fact. So I'm going to tell you a lousy joke to bring out my point of Padre Pio of Pietrelcina. Now, Pio didn't tell this story or this joke, but the conclusion, the punchline, is for you spiritual children that Padre Pio would have liked to said that punchline and what he lived for. Remember years ago, the story goes, only a story. In the hospitals, even Pio remembers that when somebody was in intensive care, the intensive care unit, we had what we used to call, even in the hospital that I've been at a long time, we called that oxygen tanks. Now, if you were really sick in intensive care, they'd put an oxygen tank here and an oxygen tank there, and they'd have hoses all over the place, and then they'd have oxygen tent. Now, the tent was transparent. It would go over the patient in square, and you could see in there, and all they had that you had to do then is put your hand in a hole inside. And you could try to yell at the patient, hey, ma'am, or whatever you had to try to tell them. The priest used to have to go in and had a tough time anointing them. That's happened just a few years ago. Now, in intensive care, of course, we don't have that anymore. But all they used to have was oxygen tank, oxygen tent, hoses, and everything else all over them. You couldn't hardly get to the patient. Well, the story goes that a priest came in to see his parishioner that was in under that iron, that oxygen tent. And he wanted to give the man, of course, the last sacraments of the church. And so he had a tough time getting up to the tent or the oxygen tent. He was trying to tell the guy, I'm going to give you the last rites and all that time. And the guy couldn't hear. And so finally, the man lying there, he kept saying, and the priest couldn't hear him. And so finally the priest went over to the nurse and he said, ma'am, would you give me a writing pad and a pencil? Mr. Snodgrass here is trying to say something and I'll just put this writing pad and the pencil inside the oxygen tent so maybe he can write what he wants to say. And so the guy kept saying, so he took the pencil, of poor man, he's lying there, and he started to write. And he wrote a few words, and all of a sudden, boom, he died. The priest didn't know what to do. And so he got all excited. So finally he did give the last man the last rites. And he said, after all the excitement died down, he said, geez, I wonder what he was trying to write on that notebook. And so the priest took the pad, and the guy had written, Father, you're standing on my oxygen pole. This is what 100 years of Padre Pio meant. You and I, as all the spiritual children of Padre Pio, we say to our church today, and we say to all the screwy things that are going on around us, for all these last 20 years in the history of the Catholic Church, particularly in the West, quit standing on my oxygen hose. Quit taking away my lifeline, the spiritual lifeline that came down from our Lord Jesus Christ. And the first one, of course, in the life of Padre Pio, of why he lived those 50 years on earth. The Mass is Calvary. Every time a priest goes and offers that Mass, that is not just a community of people, but it is Jesus Christ, the Son of God, offering himself again to the Father. Pio lived it for 50 years. Don't take my oxygen away. The Mass is not only a meal. The Mass is primarily, on all the 2,000-year history of the Church, the sacrifice of Calvary. Padre Pio lived those 50 years because he proved to the whole world the necessity of suffering and how important it is in your lives, you spiritual children who have these families, so many of you. And of all the sickness and the trials and the trouble, Pio bled inside like a gusher, he said. He had asthma. And he said, the only thing that matters to God, as you and I are in our language, offer that suffering up. Everybody has a cross, Pio said. And it's up to you and I how we carry that cross. And today everybody's saying, take away that cross. Have to deny yourself. Don't put up with anything. Get rid of your husband. Get rid of your wife. Let the kids leave home. Anything. But don't put up with any inconvenience or suffering. And that you and I realize that in everybody's life there is this pain. Pain of body or pain of soul. Pain of heart. And Pio bled. Blood. Suffered. To try to tell you children, you spiritual children, and like myself, hey, there's a merit to suffering. This is Christ's plan for all mankind. If you want to follow our Lord, you've got to get that cross and suffer, he said. And you and I in our modern church, well, now this stuff, and people today saying, well, you know, right from the beginning, those poor mothers, they should have an abortion. Don't bring them into the world. They'll be unhappy and all that, all the way down to the end of the line where I work in the hospital. Get rid of them. Euthanasia. Kill the old people. There's no reason for them to live. Get rid of them. Pull the plugs and everything else. Just no suffering. Pio lived. So we say again, don't take away my oxygen hose. Quit stepping on my lifeline. Let me realize the value of suffering. Let me realize that I can become a saint by suffering. And another thing today that Padre Pio tells you and me. Francisco Forgione in that old chapel and in the new chapel until the day he died sat in that confessional hour after hour after hour, dispensing first all the Italians from all over Italy, then from all over Europe, until finally he came to the end of his life. You had to have a ticket and line up for weeks to be able to go to the Sacrament of Mercy to Padre Pio Pietrocina. Today in our world, in all over, particularly part of the United States, nobody goes to confession. They are cutting down most parishes, closing the confessionals. Nobody asks for the mercy of God. And you see, Padre Pio told you and I, as his spiritual children, and proved it in his life, supernaturally, confessional, regular. The confession is divine mercy. Please do not take my oxygen away. The only spirituality and my lifeline is the sacrament of penance. Bless me, Father, I am a sinner. And this great mercy of God mentioned, of course, all his life, he used to bring the monks. Bring them in. Get those souls back in the state of grace. Don't take my oxygen away. The mass suffering and the confessional. People, spiritual children, our lifeline. And then today, they're talking about the Mother of God. Why, that Father Pio used to stand in that same sacristy when he vested and I kissed his wounds there. And later on, they had that beautiful statue of Our Lady of Fatima. Just like that in the sacristy. And Pio used to cry out, Madonna, Madonna, in his suffering. And every day he'd go between the monastery and that little chapel, he'd stop to see Our Lady of Sorrows. And all day long when he wasn't offering mass or sitting in the confessional, and while he was sitting in the confessional, inside his brown Franciscan robe, he had that rosary. The rosary that they're trying to take away again in our life. Don't step on my oxygen hose. It's my only life. And we read today in all the obituary columns that they used to have, remember when some poor soul had died. And in the daily paper they'd say, the rosary will be held in such and such, and then the funeral in such a church. They are no longer having the rosary. The rosary has been tossed out in all of the instruction classes of the majority of parishes around. When you send somebody to go to the instruction class to become a Catholic, and they bring up the rosary and they say, oh, that's not important in the Catholic world. That's not important in the church. Well, if any of you are around when the day I die, I hope that you will say a rosary over my remains, because the rosary is our lifeline. Don't step on my oxygen hose. Give me my life. The real sacrifice of Calvary. The real sacrament of the penance of confession, where I could be forgiven for my miserable sins. And the only one, as she said at Fatima, who will be able to save you and bring peace in our hearts and our souls, the Madonna, the Immaculate Heart of Mary. Quit stepping on my oxygen hose, because I don't like it. And Pio tried to tell all of his spiritual children, stick to that. Stick to that and you will have life in you. And then finally, that folks over there today at San Giovanni, what he's doing tonight, who knows? But all over the world, that great dissension goes on and on. Dissensions of lay people, dissension of priests, dissension of bishops, dissension of nuns, dissension of all over our world against the Holy Father. And 1 month before Padre Pio died, when that ignominious encyclical of Pope Paul VI came out in 1968, Humanae Vitae, which from that moment on has caused nothing but chaos and trouble in the Catholic Church. Padre Pio sat down in his monastery 1 month before he died, and he hadn't written a letter for years. And he wrote that letter and sent it to Paul VI. And in that letter he says, oh, your holiness, the chaos in the church, your children, he says, are falling away. But I, Francisco Forgione, Padre Pio, and all my spiritual children in the prayer groups, we show our complete obedience. Thou art Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And you, Padre Pio, children, you must love that church. The real dogmas, the real morals taught to us by the Vicar of Christ, the Pope. And I'll close with this quotation from the head of the Congregation of the Faith, Cardinal Joseph Ratzinger. And here's what he tells you on this 100th anniversary of Padre Pio. Authentic Catholic dogma and morals now appears to many like an alien body from times long past, which opposes such as a kind of a meteorite, which is in opposition not only to the concrete habits of life, but also to the way of thinking underlying them. And Ratzinger goes on, man continually desires only one thing, to be his own creator and his own master. And he adds, but what awaits us at the end of that road is certainly not paradise. Stick like P.O. The sacrifice of the mass is Calvary all over again for you. Run to the sacrament of penance continually for the mercy of God. Have that great love for the Mother of God that P.O. had, the Madonna, by continually to say that rosary. And then fall down in humble obedience in your life to the Pope, the Vicar of Christ on earth. Happy birthday, Audrey Peel.